Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
Eels up inside ya, find an entrance where they can. Eels up inside ya, find an entrance where they can. Crawling through your mind, through your body, through your anus. Crawling through your mind, through your body, through your anus. Eels. Eels. Eels.
What an intro.
Yeah, any Mighty Boosh fans out there will get that one.
Should have plugged the guitar in, really, but no way.
That's all right.
Eels, eels, eels.
Yeah, so what are we doing today,
Byron? I'm evil. Evil, I say.
And if you hadn't guessed, we're covering eels.
Eels. Aren't they weird?
Very, very weird.
Weird.
They're so weird, we're doing a little podcast on them.
Yeah.
I think before we start off, we should say that it was my week to do some research.
You were a little strapped for time, weren't you?
Yeah. I had a very busy weekend.
Let's start from the start, right? Because a few weeks ago, you found out this fact that scientists have never witnessed eels reproducing in the wild and don't know how it's done.
Yeah, and I was obsessed with it for weeks.
And then it came to this week, your turn to do the podcast, your turn to do the research, and you were like, I haven't really got a lot of time. And I said, don't worry, Josh, I have just the thing. I know a channel on YouTube that has covered this. And I think you probably do most of your research from there. And it is a channel called 42, a lad called Aaron Lomas. Thank you, Aaron, for all your helpful research that you did for Josh.
Yeah, to avoid plagiarism, we should probably say 42. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But to be fair as well, even when you Google it and use other websites that I've been known to use, like Wikipedia and things, it's pretty much the same information.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his presentation of it and everything,
it's
good, that's so good. We're not taking that aspect of it.
Oh, no.
It's just what he says and the facts and science. I mean, you might as well
I subscribe to 32, so, you know, I recommend it. I highly recommend his videos to everybody who's interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah, and when I looked, it was like 3.2 million views or something. So
probably,
I think he's doing all right. I don't think he'll mind. Right, I hope not, anyway.
But let's just say he correlated the information and presented it for you to write down.
Yeah. That's probably the best way. So, where do we start, mate? How weird eels are.
How weird. Well, they are kind of the extraterrestrials of the fish kingdom, aren't they?
Yeah. Shall I give some random weird eel facts?
Yeah, go on. Just throw us a few facts.
Okay, so European freshwater eels have no scales and they breathe through their skin.
Wow.
They can survive out of water for 48 hours.
That's 2 days in real money.
Yeah. They move quick on land and can climb.
Can climb?
Yeah.
What, like trees?
Yep. That's what blew my mind. It can climb. Well, wow. I don't know if it can climb a full tree. I don't know why I said yes instantly at the thought of an eel climbing a tree. That's quite the task.
It's been known.
I think like it meant climbing over rocks and different terrain, if you will.
Fair enough.
But they can climb. And they bury themselves in mud for hibernation in winter.
Oh, yeah. And in the summer as well, when water drains, when rivers dry up or lakes dry up, they'll burrow into the mud so they can survive the dry season. And then when the rains come and the water comes back, they can unbury themselves.
That makes sense.
Very clever, eh?
And by hibernation, I'm guessing they just sleep?
I guess so. Yeah, well, most animals, when they hibernate, they lower their metabolism, don't they? The heart rate drops to like 2 or 3 beats a minute, and the whole central nervous system shuts down.
While we're on the subject of hibernation, I know it's not eels, but quick fact, I always thought bears hibernating, they were asleep the entire time, but they're not.
No.
They're just basically away and relaxing. Yeah. But they're not actually permanently asleep the whole time.
No.
Which is what I thought and was kind of taught as a kid.
Literally slept for 3 months.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I was like, hang on, that doesn't make sense. How would they function? But yeah, no, I only found that out the other day.
Some do, though, I think, don't they? Like hedgehogs, I think, is it hibernate?
Yeah, and turtles?
Turtles, yeah, tortoises, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Blue Peter putting their tortoise into a cardboard box for the winter. And it'd stay there, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, I remember Blue Peter doing it to a tortoise and it wasn't moving and it turns out he was dying, like he died. I hope that's not the case.
Maybe.
Well, I've got a couple more facts
wake
for you.
Wake up, Torty, wake up. Oh, no. Mommy's not moving.
Mate, if you had a tortoise and didn't call him Tortellini, that's a crime.
Oh, that would
it?
Be cool, wouldn't that's it? A great I found name. A tortoise once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just out and about?
Yeah. I got a job doing like strawberry picking in the out in the middle of like countryside.
So I just back in Wales.
Oh yeah, back yeah. Back when I was only like a teenager, and I used to ride my bike out there, and I was riding home one day after spending all day strawberry picking. I was riding out in this little country lane, middle of nowhere, and I saw something rustle in the hedge, and I stopped the bike and I looked down, and there was a tortoise looking up at me. I was like, okay. That's random. So I picked it up, put it in my backpack, took it home. We phoned the police station. I said, well, my parents did. And I was just over the moon. I found a tortoise. And my parents were like, no, we've got to return it to its owner. So they rang the police station, reported it. And then a couple of days later, someone actually rang the police station asking if anybody had found a tortoise. Yeah, randomly I had.
I imagine in Wales that was actually like top priority like at the time. Like I always imagine Wales. I don't know if it's because of Gavin and Stacey or whatever. But like Wales sometimes has like a kind of a reputation for being like a bit of a simpleton kind of country place. Do you know what I mean? Like not much happening, not much crime. Yeah. And I just had this image of you just ringing up the police and they're just straight on it. It's like, we got to find a tortoise. Like, get it home. Like, and it was like top priority.
This was in Shropshire in England, not Wales.
Oh, I thought it was in Wales. No. Oh, you live on the border. Well, you used to live on the border. Oh, that ruins that then.
It does, yeah. But interesting, like Mum and Dad also put an advert in the paper saying that they found a tortoise, and we had people ringing us up from no less than 60 miles away.
Really?
Yeah. So like, do you really think your tortoise has crawled 60 miles in 3 days, mate?
Yeah. They're quite slow as well, aren't they?
Well, they can move fairly quick when they want to, but yeah, they're not the fastest animal. Anyway, eels.
Yeah, eels. So European freshwater eels can live up to 100 years old.
Yeah.
They have poisonous blood.
Oh.
And they're also very difficult to kill.
So, poisonous blood?
Mm.
Do you have to drain them before you can eat them or what?
Yeah, I think so. I guess so. Yeah. If their bow is poisonous, then...
Or does cooking them turn it unpoisonous?
Oh, now there's a question. Because I imagine if you drank the blood before putting it in black pudding, you'd get very sick. But then cooking it
yeah.
with black pudding... So, yeah.
Mm. There's also some plants and stuff that are poisonous before you cook them, aren't there? So.
Yeah. And nettle soup. You can't eat nettles, but you can... cook them
you
into
could
soup.
Eat nettles, but it probably hurt. Yeah.
You wouldn't have much of a mouth left afterwards. I used to do that and trick people. You know that you get the nettles that have little white flowers on them. Yeah. Those ones aren't sharp. And I used to trick people and used to pick them out the ground and pretend to bite them. And they'd be like, oh, how does that not affect you? And I was like, oh, you know, it's a little bit stingy, but oh, I'm a hard nut. And it's just the different type of nettle.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they can be very difficult to kill.
Yeah, they can be difficult to catch as well.
Yeah.
If you go fishing, if anybody is an avid fisher, getting an eel on your line is horrible because they're almost impossible to get off.
Because
they literally just... curl themselves all around the line and just turn them, tangle themselves into a big knot, and it's just a nightmare.
Ugh, I hate eels. So, they have a stubborn nervous system as well, so even if you cut off their heads, they can swim for hours.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nuts. I'm just going to quickly say, from the get-go, I hate eels, cannot stand them. They are the biggest phobia I have,
yeah.
And... I'm about to reveal to you why I have... Do you remember on the podcast, I've said a few times, I'm scared of things without arms and legs.
Yes, very much so.
So, snakes, eels, worms.
Fish,
yeah. Although fish, I'm getting better with.
Yeah.
Because I've had to cook with fish and I've touched scales and things.
Okay.
I'm getting all right. So it's anything that's long without arms and legs. And the reason I have this phobia, my friend, is when I was about 6 years old and living in the States, and we were in... Mississippi. My dad and my uncle, me and my cousin David, they decided to go fishing and take us boys with them. And
just take the boys out fishing.
Yeah,
teach them how to take care of themselves.
Yeah, and we were, in my mind, I remember it being a beach, but it could very well have been a riverbed. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, sandy river.
So my cousin David, not my actual cousin, but either way, grew up with him. He's a few years older than me. So I would have been about 6 at the time. He would have been about 9.
Yeah.
So dad and uncle are fishing. We decide to run up and down the beach. We keep running, keep going further, daring each other to keep running up and down the beach. Not in the water, just on the beach. And as we go a bit further, we see a dead eel on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And it is dead. Flies.
Must have been 102.
Yeah, died of old age. And it's a big old conger eel kind of thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's dead, mouth open, flies all eating it and stuff.
Smelling.
And if you can imagine, I'm staring at it as a six-year-old, looking at it, and the mouth is facing me in its lengthways.
Yeah.
My cousin David, without any hesitation, decided to jump on the eel. And all of the guts and intestines came flying out of the eel mouth. And sprayed me head to toe in eel guts.
Lovely.
And my dad had to wash me into the ocean,
the river.
And I remember just screaming to the point where they thought that my cousin had murdered me on the beach because it was just me screaming my head off. And, yeah, I vividly remember it. And that is the reason I have a phobia today of snakes and eels.
Oh, right.
Mainly snakes and eels. But so
why worms, then?
Just because they're like small versions of eels and snakes, I still don't trust them. You know,
okay.
Like just I know I'm getting sidetracked again. But
worms don't even like have a head end and a tail end.
Yeah, that's voodoo, mate. Like you're telling me there's a thing that doesn't have a either end. It lives in the ground, minds its own business, and then it only pops its head up when it's raining. What is that all about?
I don't know. I'm not a worm.
So I don't trust them. I think worms are shifty. I think they eat the soil, and they're no good. They eat your roots and plants and stuff, don't they? I'm pretty sure.
No, I think they're good for the grain, to be honest.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take them off the list, but I still keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
I don't trust them.
I reckon they're good for your garden.
Yeah. Anyway, eels.
Eels.
I feel like this is going to be a podcast where we keep getting sidetracked because eels are so weird, and it's reminding us of other weird things.
Mm.
Now let's go into some of what history, somewhat history of what people used to believe. So Aristotle, he was also confused by eels and how weird they were. His theory was eels came to life when rainwater mixed with mud.
It's a theory.
Yeah.
I've heard that Aristotle was intelligent in other ways. Maybe not about not so much about eels.
Yeah, I think we'll let him off on that one. Roman author Pliny the Elder said eels came from the shed skin of other eels.
Right. Well, I suppose, like, going back to worms...
Oh, no.
I believe, like, you can cut a worm in half, can't you? And then it lives as two worms.
See, you're just adding to it now. That's another voodoo trick.
And you... Well, maybe he thought that it was pretty much the same system with eels. Yeah, you know what I mean? You cut an eel in half and it just turns into two eels.
Oh, God, that would be my worst nightmare.
Multiple eels.
If there's a horror film where that happens, oh, no thanks. Some believe that they came from sea foam, or when sunlight hit the water in a certain way.
Yeah.
Or British, sorry, I said that wrong. Water in a certain way. The Scottish believe they came from beetles.
Oh, that's a good theory, to be fair.
And the English used to believe that they came from horsetail hair mixing with water.
Naturally, yeah.
Yep.
It just swells up the hair and turns into an eel.
Yeah.
just suddenly animates itself.
Yeah. Yeah, two very different things, hair and living things. Sigmund Freud.
not Sigmund and Roy.
Yeah.
And the tigers.
We called him the time before Sigmund and Freud. It's one guy.
So we're actually talking about the actual Sigmund Freud this time, yeah?
Yeah,
actual, like, psychologist, psychiatrist, whatever he was.
And it turns out he had an obsession with genitals.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until I saw the video. Yeah, I no idea. Sigmund Freud had a genital obsession.
He was
I think he was fascinated by reproduction and things.
Yeah, he was. Well, his theory was pretty much that everybody with mental problems, it derives from being in love with our own mums and stuff like that. And
okay, yeah, like, I mean...
Yeah, he had some very strange ideas, did Sigmund Freud. I don't know how he became so famous, to be honest. But...
Yeah. I've heard he's a bit kooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to come out with some really random theories. So in 1876, as a medical student at the University of Vienna, he travelled to northwest Italy to find evidence of eel testicles.
Right.
That's what he was looking for.
Oh, because they don't have reproductive organs.
Yeah, yeah, they don't have reproductive organs. But we'll come back to that later.
Okay.
But yeah, for now...
So, him being obsessed with genitals, he thought, I'm going to be the first man to find eel genitals and sexual reproductive organs.
Yep.
And so he went off and tried to find some. How many eels did he go through?
He went through 400 eels.
Wow.
Yeah, he used to buy them off fishermen and dissect them. And he came to the conclusion after over 400 eels, there was no genitals, no eel testicles, no reproductive organs. So he slaughtered over 400 eels with no conclusion.
Yeah.
And then in 1886, French zoologist Yves Delange. Is that French?
Yves.
French zoologist Yves. Yves? You don't hear...
Yves?
Yeah, you don't hear it's that name
Yves
often.
Yves Saint Laurent, isn't it? So, and that's Yves Delange, yeah.
He kept a large leaf-shaped fish in a tank called a leptocephalus.
Leptocephalus, yeah.
For months in his own laboratory.
And this was completely separate, wasn't it? He wasn't studying eels in any way or anything like that.
No, he just had the fish in a tank.
And the leptocephalus doesn't look anything like an eel either.
No.
It kind of looks like a leaf.
Yeah, that's what it was described as. Yeah. Like a leaf-shaped thing with eyes, I suppose. And one morning he woke up and the fish had changed shape. So they were thinner and longer, and he came to the conclusion
that it was a metamorphosis for the eels.
Yeah.
So they had become eels from this fish.
From the leptocephalus, mm-hmm. had transformed, had metamorphosized into baby eels.
Yeah, but from all reports, that's the only time it's been kind of witnessed.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, no one else has really had that claim or, you know, so I don't know if it's just a theory or not at that point, but he seems to be the only person. Then it is in the history books, so who knows what happened there. But he reckons they're metamorphic. They believe that there are six stages of eel.
Right. So they metamorphose six times, or five times, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so from birth, you've got the leptocephali. Then they turn into transparent glass eels. They turn into elvers. Elvers turn into yellow eels, and yellow eels turn into silver eels. And that's the final stage.
Silver eel is the mature adult. It's final stage. We're done. I can now live to 100.
Yes.
How long, I don't suppose you probably know how long it takes for each metamorphosis to occur.
No, I didn't say.
No.
Well, the thing that I saw and read and watched it didn't say.
I know it doesn't on 42. I just wondered if you'd looked into it anymore. And
no, they actually, there's a few things that's coming up with eels that they still don't know about today. Right. And I think that's one of them. So I'll get to that bit.
I suppose that's why it's only suggested that they could live up to 100 years, because no one knows exactly how long they spend in any given transformation.
Yeah, and the crazy thing as well, even if you followed one eel, like they're going to outlive us, so you'd never know if it did live to 100 or not.
Yeah, surely. You couldn't exactly put a tag on one, could you?
No.
It'd just slip
out of it. But a lot of people didn't believe Yves Saint Laurent, because he made wild statements that went against the conventional wisdom of the time. So a lot of people didn't actually believe his metamorphosis conclusion.
Fair enough. When was this, did it say? 1886?
Yeah, 1886. Right. In France. Vive la France. And I should also mention as well, when they get to the final stage, it is now, it's still a theory, but they think that, you know, they're 99% sure that when they reach the maturity of the silver eel stage, that is when they grow reproductive organs.
Ah, so Sigmund Freud obviously wasn't studying silver eels. He was studying some. Well, hang on, though. Because that's only, you've only mentioned, what, five different eel types there. But there are lots and lots of different eels out there.
Yeah.
So actually, how many different species of eel are there? Because you could imagine that if you said that there was 200 species of eels out there, all of them go through five different changes. Well, that actually gives you only like 40 different species of eel, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's a lot of species of eel.
Fair play.
I've got a list towards the end of a few.
Okay.
Yeah, they also don't even know how there's so many different species of eel still to this day, because some of them are so different.
And we don't know which ones turn into which other. We know about those particular ones, leptocephali, turning eventually into a silver eel, but I mean, there's lots and lots of eels in the world.
Yeah. And they only grow the reproductive organs, not only when they get to their final form, but also only when they're needed.
Oh, right.
So, and that's the other crazy thing. They don't know anything about mating rituals or like what environment, what temperature the water needs to be, where they go.
Okay.
They've never actually seen it happen in person.
In real life, yeah, out in the wild.
Which is absolutely nuts.
But they have tried to mate eels, haven't they?
Ah, it is here. So final form, they reckon, they theorise.
7 to 70 years.
Yeah. It could take anywhere from 7 to 70 years. I didn't miswrite that. Okay. I'm telling you now. They don't know how long it takes for each stage, but they think
anywhere between 7 and 70 years.
Yeah, just a small difference.
You're going to go through 5 different stages at 70 years. It puts it a lot more older than 100.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. The first stage
there
of eel.
Eels out there that were attacking Sawney Bean
back in the day. Could have been. And also, we mentioned that Nessie could have been like a 100-year-old giant eel.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you do get giantism in eels. They've found huge eels.
Yeah.
If it happens to snakes, no doubt it can happen to eels.
Yeah, it must do.
So the first stage of eel is only found in the ocean because it's a marine creature.
What, the
leptocephali.
Leptocephali, yeah.
And in 1904, Danish scientist Johannes Schmidt, he did the biggest survey, which lasted 19 years. And he had a boat. He was traveling out because he wanted to find the origin of where eels came from.
Okay.
So he was catching eels as he was going out and out and out. And he kept going until the size of the eels basically stayed the same. So they started off like
the leptocephali.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And like other types of like eel as well, yeah. Not just the leptocephali, but like we said about different species.
Oh, okay.
They kind of did look like transparent little see-through worms. So some of them were in the transparent glass eel stage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was going out and catching them and, you know, doing all his statistics. And then he kept going and he reached a point where the eels weren't getting any smaller.
So that was...
So he thought, that's got to be the
you
place.
You would think that would be the breeding ground.
Mm. And he traced that back to the middle of the Sargasso Sea, which is also the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Now,
the sea without borders, as they call it.
Yeah. And I looked and I thought, is that the same thing? And it is. So the Sargasso Sea is within the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. It's a lot bigger than the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's created,
the other way.
Created from the warm currents hitting the Arctic currents, and it just keeps circulating.
Mm.
And, it creates a still area of water within the mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
And that's where the Atlantic Great Garbage Patch is as well.
Yes, yeah. And it's like a sea within a sea.
Yeah.
I think what I meant to say was the Bermuda Triangle is in the Sargasso Sea, not the other way around.
Well, it sort of encroaches onto it because... Bermuda Triangle is island, all islands, isn't it? It doesn't touch Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the Sargasso. Yeah, it does pretty much. Yeah, contained within.
We're going to have to do an episode on that at some point.
What, the Sargasso Sea?
Yeah, the Bermuda Triangle.
Bermuda Triangle's on the list.
There's some weird stuff going on there. Yeah. It seems to affect like metals and planes and stuff a lot.
It's where aliens teleport baby eels onto the planet.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Chucking a Yeti as well. He's probably got something to do with it.
What, in the Sargasso Sea?
Yeah.
I doubt it. Unless it's a Yeti maid.
Oh.
A mermaid Yeti.
Oh, now we're making up our own myths and creatures.
Why not? Everyone else does.
I just pictured then, like, the bottom half being a fish and the top half being a Yeti. Yeah, like a big old gorilla kind of thing.
Well, that's basically what's his name? P.T. Barnum found, isn't it? Monkey, fish.
Yeah. He tried to trick people with that. So 6,000 kilometres for European eels travelled to when he was doing his research. They were traveling over 6,000 kilometers.
European eel, freshwater eels, mm-hmm. traveling 6,000 kilometers to the Sargasso Sea mm-hmm. to breed.
Yeah. And I have got written here the vortex of the ocean, but you beautifully explained that already, so I'm not going to go into it. But yeah, there's a hell of a distance, and they still don't know
but
why.
What I know, they still haven't actually seen any breeding eels there. They've seen is the young, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they've never actually seen breeding eels.
Never seen an eel at all in the Sargasso Sea, from what I
know. No, they've only seen baby ones, which just adds to the weirdness of eels and why we're covering them.
That means a baby eel then has to swim 6,000 kilometres to find fresh water mm-hmm. to grow up in.
Yeah. And they don't know how they make it back, like how these eels get back. They don't know how long it takes.
No.
They predicted some of them it takes 6 months to get back from the Sargasso Sea
Might
to
take
Europe.
Between 7 and 70 years.
Yeah. Yes, it's 6 months to 3 years. Yeah, it's just nuts. They don't really understand. So I've got a few different types of eel as well. So
okay.
You've got the snipe eel, right. Which has got like two like antenna things coming out of its head.
Definitely aliens.
Moray eels, which can grow up to 4 meters long.
Oh, they're massive, ugly things, moray eels.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister had a best friend when she was at school, and my sister's best friend's dad loved his, like, fish and marine fish and that, like, and he had this massive tank with a moray eel in it.
Really?
It was huge, man. The tank was the size of this table and probably about 4 foot tall. And this eel just filled. I don't think it could actually. If it was like stretched out lengthways, it had to do a U turn to actually fit in the tank.
I see. What is the point of having pets like that?
I think it's cruel.
Yeah. Set them free.
Yeah.
I said moray. Conger eels can weigh up to 110 kilos.
Yeah, they're chunky boys, aren't they?
You've got gulper eels with huge old mouths.
Yeah.
Snub-nosed eels.
Are these all the same eel? Or we don't know?
No, they're all different. They don't know how there's so many
different
species.
So a snipe eel might turn into a moray eel, which might turn into a conger eel.
Possible, but they actually think they're all different.
They think
these
are all different ones.
There's different stages leading up to these final forms.
That's the final form.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are like the final forms of eel. So they think that there could be some... Not evolution, but metamorphosis to get to these. And these are only literally a handful of the kind of most famous eels.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got the snub-nosed eel, powerful jaws that burrow into larger fish.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible to look at when you see, like, old David Attenborough or whatever on the mm-hmm. TV, and, yeah, you see a fish swimming around, and it's literally just got an eel sticking out of its skin and just, like, flapping around in the water. Ugh.
And then there was one where it actually burrowed into the heart of a shark and the shark was still living.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, just burrowed into a shark.
Wow.
Thought I'm going to live here for a while. And yeah, the shark was all right, just swimming around. The heart was still beating.
Symbiotically.
Yeah, they found that after they obviously caught the shark, they found the eels inside.
Oh, so they killed the shark. Yeah. Caught it, killed it. Look, this eel's been living inside a shark.
Yeah. Oh. And the last ones, I know there's a few people out there, they're going to say, you haven't mentioned the most famous eel, electric eels.
The electric eels, of course.
Long electric eels. they are actually a type of knife fish.
Oh, they're not an eel?
They're not even an eel. And the example I got from the research, it's
from
almost
42.
Like... From 42, yeah. It's almost the same, it is the same as killer whales aren't whales, they're... Dolphins. They're part of the dolphin family.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
They're closer related to a dolphin than they are a whale, I should have said.
Yeah.
Just a fun little fact here, electric eels shoot up to 1,000 volts.
Right.
But yeah, they're not even an eel. I don't know why they're called electric eels and not electric knife fish, because that sounds bloody cool.
That sounds decent, doesn't it? Electric knife fish.
Yeah.
That's a metal band name, that is.
Yes, and also, I thought, when I read this, do you remember when we done Captain Bird, and I said, oh, the Mayflower, the SS Dolphin.
Yeah.
The SS Electric Knife Fish. That's what you want to be doing missions on.
Yes, mate.
Yeah. I bet that got all the ladies, all the men, either one, And it got all the attention, and I bet they looked hard if that boat was called that.
Yeah.
Oh, just hop aboard the electric knife fish. They'd be like, what? Hop aboard the SS Dolphin. No, I'm all right.
Hop aboard the electric eel.
Yeah.
No, I think I'd rather not.
And that's all I got on eels. And still to this day, they do not know really how it's done. The only conclusion I can come to is, as of 2022, they are 99.9% sure that the female lays eggs and the eel fertilizes, the male eel fertilizes them. Yeah. Same as any other fish. That's what they think now, but that was only as of 2022.
Because didn't you say earlier, off the podcast, that they've tried it in captivity?
Yes, and they had to do hormone treatment.
Yeah.
Because the eels, I'm guessing, worked out that they weren't in the wild, and they were like, I'm not performing for you. So,
well, it's like some birds and that will travel thousands of miles back to where they... And fish as well, like excuse me, like salmon and stuff, will travel for thousands of miles back to the spawning ground that they were born at just to reproduce. And if that's the same for eels, then probably put them in a tank and make them mate with each other. It's not going to work, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, so they have to give them hormone treatment if they want to see it in the, but they've still never seen it.
Successful.
Yeah, they haven't seen it.
So even hormone treatments didn't work.
Yeah, they're just such weird, mysterious creatures.
They are.
And death to them all, is what I say. Do you know, if I rubbed a lamp and a genie popped out, one of my wishes would be to eliminate all eels and snakes from the planet. And there's going to be animal activists and vegans, people like, oh, they're animals, leave them alone.
They're part of the ecosystem.
Yeah, I'm sure they do something. But me, personally, it's unpopular. I just don't like them. I don't like eels. I don't like snakes. That would be one of my wishes. They're my wishes. I can do what I like with them. One of them, ban snakes and eels. Get them out of here.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and that's all I got on eels.
So, putting this to the paranormality scale, to be honest, I'm going to go quite high. Eels are weird.
Yeah, they are.
I've never really liked them. They're ugly.
Mm.
Like you say, they're strange in every way. They don't have scales. They breathe through their skin. Mm-hmm. What's that all about? That's weird. They are just strange creatures, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were brought here by an alien from another planet, and like, you know, rabbits out in Australia or whatever, you know, just chuck your eels on the earth, see what happens there.
They say that about octopi, don't they?
Yeah, octopuses are weird as well. There's a lot of weird stuff in the sea, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
Eels are definitely up there.
It kind of makes sense now, doesn't it, that we've explored more of space than we have the ocean.
The ocean, yeah.
Because I wonder what's actually down there.
You don't want to know after time.
Yeah. So only recently I found out anglerfish. It's anglerfish.
Yeah.
Are so much bigger than you think. Like, you think they're, you know, maybe cat, dog size. They're huge. They can easily swallow a human.
They're massive.
Mate, they are massive. I want you, after this pod, Google anglerfish, and it will give you the size comparison of the fish to the human. It's huge.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought probably, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 foot in long.
Oh, no. I think, actually, I'm sure they can grow up to 7-8 feet. They're massive. They're so much bigger than you think.
They are deep sea creatures, and there is deep sea gigantism, isn't there?
Yeah. So I didn't mean to cut off your scale. You said you're giving it
quite high. 8.5. Let's go there.
Okay, I'm just going to give it a flat-out electric 8.
An electric 8?
Yeah, because I don't like eels. I can't say it enough. I don't like them. So I, for my own stubborn reasons, I don't want to give them too high of a score. But I cannot deny their weirdness and their mystique. I got to give them that respect a little bit.
Yeah.
So I will give it high. But the low highs. I'm going to give it just a solid 8.
Okay.
So an electric 8.
An electric 8. So we're getting an electric 8.25 on the average this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how weird eels are.
Yeah, if you've got any weird eel stories, let us know.
Yeah, write in paranormality.uk @gmail.com.
Oh, didn't you say you had a lovely lady...
I'll tell the story in my own time. Thank you, Josh.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, so
excited.
To tell the story, I have false teeth.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to tell them that part.
Yeah, might as well. Because it might it might come up again in the future.
Mm.
I've had false teeth since I first knocked out my first front tooth when I was 18 years old. I got very drunk and I headbutted a telegraph pole and knocked my first tooth out. And then several times throughout the following years, I've again got drunk, mostly on tequila, and knocked out a couple more. And yeah, I've basically had a plastic plate in my mouth for nearly 25 years. And I thought, the last of my four front teeth got chipped a few months ago and cracked, and it started going a bit brown, and I've been hiding it behind this pop shield for the last couple of months, so it doesn't show up on camera. But I thought, I've got to get it sorted. The NHS is just useless for dentists at the moment. You might as well not even bother. And when I looked at how much it was going to cost to get me a new denture, I thought, well, I might as well just take out a few more extra grand and get implants.
Mm.
So that's what my plan was. I've done that. I've taken out a loan. I've organised it. I'm going to Cambridge to a specialist dentist that does implants. And I was there yesterday, walking through central Cambridge. Didn't really think about it too much on my way to the dentist. But when I came back from the dentist, as I was walking back towards the train station, because that's the easiest way to navigate Cambridge.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't really think about it, but I was wearing my UFO logo, paranormality logo merchandise T-shirt. And having a giant UFO right in the centre of your chest in bright white on a black T-shirt is quite noticeable. And and as I was on my way back to the train station, I noticed a couple of people, like, you know, having a quick eyeball at my T-shirt, including... Because as I literally just a couple of hundred yards from the actual train station itself, Cambridge has been done up quite a lot recently. It used to have rugged, you know, crappy car park with like thousands and thousands of bikes just laying around everywhere. Well, they've cleaned all that up, put up like nice office blocks and hotels, and there's eateries, and it really does look nice there.
Yeah, Cambridge is lovely.
Yeah. And so there was this woman stood outside one of the offices or hotels or whatever she was, dressed absolutely immaculately, like, you know, like Gucci. Her clothes look like they cost more than my house.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You
know,
she was wealthy, you know, a classy bird.
Mm-hmm.
Stood there with her suitcase.
Mink coat.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and it must have been the UFO that caught her eye, because, like, a woman like that, normally, I'm, you know, what I look like. She wouldn't even give me a first look, let alone a second glance, but she did. And then she actually looked up at me and gave me a nice smile. And I was like, oh, decent. Like, and I realised that it was my T-shirt that was doing it. And then when I got on the train, I ended up sitting with a couple. And the woman from the couple asked me what my T-shirt was about. And I said, oh, it was my podcast. And she went, oh, can I take a picture of your T-shirt? Yeah, of course you can. She took a picture of my T-shirt, and then she went, loaded up Spotify, and instantly subscribed to my podcast, because she's into all this sort of stuff.
That's lovely. Thank you.
And it just got me thinking. Well, I did text our little group saying, do you think we should put, like, a sign on the Spotify sign and the YouTube sign and that sort of thing at the bottom of the T-shirt, so people know that it's advertising a podcast? But apparently that's a big bit of a no-no. There's legal issues with that, so we can't do that. But it's nice when people ask you about it, and then you can tell them, it's my favourite podcast. And that's what I did. And that's what I'm going to encourage everybody listening to this to do, is to buy some merch so you can spread the word about the podcast.
Yeah. That's a good call to action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it came with a nice little story.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is go to paranormalityuk.mymercher.com and, yeah, order yourself some merch. We got T-shirts, we got hats, we got tea towels, we got all sorts.
Yes, yeah.
If you can encourage people to look at, honestly, the UFO logo one is great when it's on a T-shirt. It really is eye-catching.
Mm. Yeah, I do like it. I'm so glad we changed our logo.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah.
And, yeah, for all those people that noticed, I forgot the research book last week.
Yeah.
But you can get research books available
as well. Yes, there are research books with the same Paranormality logo on it.
Mm.
And yeah. It's all good. So, yeah, go buy yourself some merch. The T-shirts are less expensive than they were. They're only 15 quid now.
Yeah,
because we moved, changed company, made it a lot more reasonable. And the postage is quick.
Yes, it is, isn't it? 2 days, something
yeah,
like that?
At most, yeah.
Yeah. Because we're for the working, hard-working people,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yeah,
we're not going to charge you ridiculous amounts. It's for a good cause, but also...
And it might help me pay for my teeth.
And then a winning smile is good for everyone.
A Hollywood smile and, a big loan to pay off.
Yes. But, yeah, check it out and tune in next week. I've been Josh.
I've been Pirate. This has been Weird and Paranormality. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Meet Claude, Anthropic's AI assistant, ready to transform how your organization works. Empower every person in your organization with AI that thinks like a teammate, not a tool. Securely upload your company knowledge and watch as Claude helps every department, from engineering to marketing, produce their best work faster. Your data stays protected while your teams reach new heights. Discover enterprise-grade AI at anthropic.com/enterprise.